Last week we focused on the treasure. This week we're focusing on the pearl. Next week we'll be focusing on the finish of that, about the net and the parable of the old and new treasures. But let me read that for us now. If you turn to Matthew 13, starting from verse 44. Jesus said this, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and in his joy went and sold all that he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for a fine pearl. When he found one of great value, he went away, he sold everything he had and he bought it. Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake that caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up to the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in a basket and threw the bad away. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all these things?" Jesus asked. "Yes," they replied, the disciples. He said to them, "Therefore, every teacher of the law who has been instructed about the kingdom of heaven is like an owner of a house who brings out his storeroom, new treasures as well as old." Yeah. Well, friends, we're in the Matthew series. If you didn't know or haven't been with us, we're finishing off that, as I said, in the last week of holidays. Next week, these short stories with Jesus and with our kids in here with us. And these stories are for our young people, and they are for us as well. And the thing about parables, sometimes I've found as I've got back into the parables, you think, yeah, I should know that. And then you've got to kind of wrestle again with it and try to grab hold of what God is showing us and what he has for us. But I've called this series, and as we're getting to the end of this series, the ministry of the Messiah. And you can see there the Hebrew word there for Messiah, which is the anointed one. That is the kingly one, the king of the kingdom. So this is the word that we use for Christ in the Greek. And so this is the ministry of the Messiah, which we've been following through in this series in Matthew. And Jesus uses parables. And that's the Greek word there for parables, which means to put alongside or compare. So you compare something. That's why he keeps saying the kingdom of heaven is like. It's a parable, a comparative. And how much does Jesus use this in his teaching? What percentage do you think of his teaching is parables? Was that a sneeze or was it an answer? 50, is anyone going for lower or higher? Higher. Lower. There's a lower up the back there. You probably should say the person who's going lower at the back. About a third of the amount of his teachings, they say, is in parables. So it's something for us to focus in on, these earthly stories which have pertinent meaning to the people of the time, but also meaning to us as we look back at it now. And it has a spiritual or a heavenly reality that goes alongside with it. And so as we come to this parable in Matthew 13, if you were to read the whole chapter of Matthew 13, it's actually a chapter about parables. It's a whole chapter of parables, actually. You may remember the seed and the soil. You may remember the wheat and the weeds. Then he goes on to talk about the yeast, which we covered, and the little seed about the kingdom. And then we go on to this buried treasure, this priceless treasure. And as we just read then, the joy that this one who finds this treasure is, which was distinct and something that we looked at last week. And now we're on to this finest pearl. And this finest pearl, which is not dissimilar to the parable before it. Just this one little line. This is in a couple of little verses. Not dissimilar, but what is Jesus trying to say to us if he's telling us that twice? What does he want us to hear? What does he want us to find today? Well, like the disciples, they needed revelation. They needed Jesus to illuminate what the meaning of this story was. And he did that with two of the parables. He did that with the soils, and he did that with the wheat and weeds. And then we have these two here. And again, we need God to open our heart to what he has shown, wants to show us. And like with, as I said, with parables, as we draw near and as our heart turns towards God to see what he has to say, he opens it up to us. It's like the automatic doors when you go towards the shops. You have to move towards them for it to open up. And so let's pray that God helps us. God's Spirit opens up, illuminates what he wants us to see from his word. Now, Lord and Holy Spirit, we are dependent upon you. You are the power to open up the doors for us to see exactly what you want us to see today. We thank you for this little parable, but this large teaching and this truth which you want to, which you want us to grasp hold of today, that you want to take root and to germinate in our life, to be soil that is ready to receive what you have for us. So we pray that we are like that good soil today. Open up our hearts, open up our life, open up our minds to what you have for us, and we ask and pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may have gathered, when we're talking about pearls, that my wife is a bit interested in them. As she shared, she mentioned Paspaley. Nicholas Paspaley is an Australian story, do you know? And let me tell you about him very quickly, because you can find a ring like that with one single pearl on it. That's a Paspaley ring pearl. That's 10K just for that ring. But let me tell you the story of Nicholas Paspaley. He was Greek. The Paspaleys are a Greek family. He moved here when he was young. When he was 14, he'd finished school and he started on a pearl fleet. A few years later, he made his big own personal discovery of a natural pearl worth more than his three times more than his first boat. And that began the story of Paspaley pearls. Now, these pearls and this pearl era that happened during that time, or the start of that, is called the Mother of Pearl era in the early 1900s. In remote northwestern coast of Australia, in Broome and the Kimberleys, had the most amount of sources at that time in the world. 75% of the global sources were coming from there for luxurious pearl, mother of pearl shells. And you know, for people who have watches, the backing of watches, or garments which had pearl buttons, expensive garments, were the source of them. That's the story. Now, Paspaley's story. Now, with the story with me and my wife, I tell her that you get the pearls in the kingdom. So you just have to wait to then and look to the ones and the pearly gates. But as we come to Matthew 13, just focus our thoughts on there. And here it is, as we can reread it, or as you can read it there on the screen. But a few things to pick up. It's similar to the treasure story, isn't it? You may have noticed some similarities. What's the similarities? The selling of all to gain this one, to gain this, to make this purchase. It's a terrible business strategy, isn't it? It's putting all your eggs in the one basket, or in the one pearl, if I can stretch the phrase, or what is that called, a simile, or whatever we call that, analogy. All your pearls in the one basket. In the ancient world, they were highly valued and they fetched a fantastic price. And if you're a trade merchant, that is not just the retailer of it, this is not just the supplier, I should say, the retailer, they had great wealth and great resource, as we kind of pick up this merchant story here. But the four things that we see in these two stories is that there is a search, there is the finding, there is the selling, and then there is the purchasing. What is Jesus teaching us here? It's a good one to think on, isn't it? It's something that you've got to keep coming back to. It's something that you can think you've got, and then you need to come back and revisit it. But earlier in chapter 6, remember he says this, Jesus says this, where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. Doesn't he say that? Where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be also. What you treasure most is where your heart will be, where your affections will move to, where your time will be, where your money will be spent. That's where your heart is. That will be where your treasure is. Where your treasure is, your heart will be. Yes, and we'll get to that, Catherine. Now the merchant found a pearl. Search was complete. He didn't need to search anymore. And when someone finds Christ, they don't need to search anymore. They can be satisfied in Him. They enter God's kingdom. All of God's riches is before them. And God's riches are found in Christ. The pearl of all pearls, the mother of all pearls, is found in Jesus. Search no more, be satisfied in Him. And when you come to Him and give your heart to Him, you find the greatest treasure. And that is why I shared this quote last week, and if you weren't here last week, you can pick it up now, and if you were here last week, you can think about this again. As John Piper has said, God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him. When our soul is satisfied in Him, that's when we can give Him most glory. That's where the most glory emanates out of our life, as we find our satisfaction, as we find our treasure in Him. And so again, I point you to that. And I remember of a story I just found recently of a lady named Tash who discovered the satisfaction that you can find in Jesus. Her life was what she thought was in disrepair. In 2016, she'd been in a mental institute and 3 jails, all in a very short time frame. She'd lost custody of her kids. She had been addicted to different substances, and she found herself in prison until she found her new inmate who encouraged her that God has something actually for her. Are you listening to what He has? She went on this journey where she discovered that Jesus is the one who could satisfy her soul. Jesus is the one who could bring her life from the ashes to something that is very beautiful. There's a picture of her, and I picked up in the picture of her that she has this very fine, just this little elegant pearl necklace on. And it just reminded me of this, that she found that the blood of the Lamb covered over her sin, covered over the things in the past of her life. She could be satisfied. She could be freed from the guilt of how she had treated others, how she had lost her own children and the care of her own children. And she could be released from that and be made new. She could find life in Jesus. That is why in Matthew 16, Jesus says, if you give it up, you'll gain it all. If you give up this life and these things and you give your life to me, you'll gain everything. You can lose your soul, can't you, trying to gain the world? But the flip side of that is if you lose your life and give your life to Jesus, then you can gain everything that He has for you. It's the most valuable pearl that will satisfy your soul. Jesus can give you nothing. He can give you everything that no one else can, or nothing else can. He can give you. He can give you divine forgiveness. He can give you new life. He can give you eternity into the future, where there is that place. A place inside that kingdom which is described and pictured with the pearly gates, the 12 gates in Revelation 21. And they're made of one single pearl there. What a picture. What an image. What an idea. And so as we come to kind of try to wrap up some of this, bring this story together and how it lands in our life, how might we interpret this? How might we understand this? Well, it's interesting is if you go back to chapter 13 and if you read through that sometime today, Jesus explains the parable of the soil and the weeds. He leaves the treasure and the pearls. So we have to kind of be careful how we approach this, or approach it humbly at least, don't we? And the other ones we can be sure and we can land on what Jesus is telling us that those things align with. And so there's different possible interpretations. So let me encourage you to do that humbly as you try to work out what this means. The treasure and the pearl, some people have said that that is like the treasure is Israel, as it refers to God's treasured possession in the Old Testament. And the pearl is like his church, and that he'll give all for his church, as God will give all for his church. The man or the merchant can be aligned to Jesus, the one who gives up everything to gain the precious one. And who is the precious one then? That means it's us, if you're interpreting like that. That is us, that we are so precious to God. We are his treasured possessions. We are his pearl. That God would go to that extent. And as I said, you've got to be careful how you try to interpret this and not to push a parable too far, because every interpretation will have little gaps or things that don't totally line up. So do that carefully. I have been suggesting that the pearl is like the kingdom or the relationship that we have with God, and the man or the merchant is like us, who we make that search and are looking for, but only satisfied in what God can offer us and what Jesus offers us. And I say that because of chapter 13. You know, it's kind of in context of chapter 13. It's trying to see which soil are you? Which soil will be you be? How you will you receive his word? Which kind of plant are you? Which are you, wheat or weed? Which kind of fish are you? And when you get to chapter 16, which I've been referring to as well, it's worth losing all to gain what Jesus can give you. It's worth losing all to gain what Jesus can give you. And so both those kind of interpretations have truth, don't they? And I leave it with you to keep wrestling with what you think fits best and how you understand this. But I think we can actually apply this by two ways to finish off. If you haven't found that greatest treasure that Jesus has for you, keep searching. Keep looking for what he has, and know that that's the only thing that will satisfy you. Keep discovering, and have others that we walk with and help them to discover that that is where you'll find the greatest treasure. That is where you'll find satisfaction. That is where you'll find satisfaction for your soul. And so I encourage you to keep walking with others who haven't. And if you personally don't feel like you've found that treasure, keep looking to what Jesus has. But if you have, and you're sure of that, and you found satisfaction in Christ, in the Messiah, then make sure that is where you keep finding your satisfaction. It's not in the surfing for me, although there is some joy to be found there. It's not in the sport that is just on our TV all at the moment. There's so much sport, isn't there? I'm loving it. It's not in that. It's not in, you know, as I mentioned, the creative stuff or the crocheting or the cooking. We find joy and satisfaction in those things. But our lasting satisfaction, we have to keep coming back to what Christ has for us. And remembering how precious we are to Christ, for him to give all for us. How precious we are to God, that he will give all and his greatest for us. And how precious he needs to be to us, that we should give our all to him. Let me pray for us as we close our time together. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this simple story, but profound meaning and the truth that it holds, the beauty that is within. Help us to keep coming back to this story, but help us to keep coming back to this truth that you love us, that we are so precious to you, that you would give of yourself. And not just some, but you would give all of yourself for us, that we could come and enter into your kingdom. Help us to be satisfied with what you offer to us, Lord Jesus. May we be reminded of how much we can rest in that and what satisfaction that brings for our soul, that we can be forgiven and look forward to eternity with you. That you have opened up the gates, the pearly gates to us to be part of your kingdom, Lord Jesus. And we get to experience and start to enjoy that now, but we'll have that in full reality when we meet with you and when you take us to be with you. And we thank you for that. We praise you for that in the name of the Lord Jesus. And the people said, amen. Amen. Friends, we've already shared a little bit, but let me encourage you to share what was being stirred in your heart as we go to our morning tea time. We're going to sing a couple more songs, and I'll invite our musos up to do that. There's a couple of great songs here, and particularly the last one, as we sing about God's kingdom, and as we sing Let Your Kingdom Come, and how we can be joyful that we have opened up, God has opened up the kingdom to us, and how the kingdom can come in our life and in our church, in this place which he has brought us.